At Rest in Colorado in podcast 1013, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Yeah, I'm in Colorado on the way to the RV Entrepreneur Conference in Montrose in Ouray County, Colorado. And right now, a little short of breath, standing outside Mobile Podcast Command about 10,200 feet up at the Grand Mesa National Forest in the Grand, I think it's the Island Lake Campground. The hosts here are great, the ambassadors, whatever you want to call them, Jay and Bonnie, said, hey, if you're a full-time nomad, you get to stay as long as you want up here. So that was great. We're up the mountain from Powderhorn, if you know the ski areas, and it is just amazing. So I have the best campsite in this whole place right now. It's reserved for the 27th. It's like the 23rd, so I came in. This is literally at the crest. There's a group campsite at the crest, and you look down on the mesas, and it's just amazing. It's been amazing. The full moon rising at night, the sun sets, it's amazing. So I want to talk about frustrations and state of mind for nomads who cover a lot of ground in a short time in podcast 1013, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, up on the ridge, quite a lot of wind up here, so it'll be good to take a little hike here shortly and head on down to a little quieter area. Got a lot of stories to tell, and I do have to tell this story because when you do podcasting or any kind of work, you are really never sure if anybody's listening, and you don't really, I don't think too much about it because I'm not doing it necessarily to become famous or anything. I'm doing it because I love to do it. But it is nice to know that there's listeners out there, right? So I'm driving through Fort Collins, Colorado, yesterday, day before yesterday, in my search, and you'll hear me talking about this, for a generator. Nobody has generators right now, and they don't have dual fuels, but that's another story. And I was at some place called Jack's. It's like in Fort Collins. It's one of these sort of garden shops and sort of a Harbor Freight kind of place in addition to that. And they had a bunch of different things. They did have generators, but they didn't have any dual fuels. And so I came out and I was, I had the truck fired up and I was driving out. I was trying to figure out where I was going to wash it. And this guy pulls up, I think in a Land Rover, and he's like, Bob Davis. I go, yeah, it says right in my truck. Sometimes people just say stuff to me because my name's on the truck. And he goes, Bob Davis. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I'm listening to your 1,000th podcast as we speak. Now, remember, I'm from Minnesota. So this guy is in Fort Collins, Colorado. Completely randomly sees me and follows me over to the Jack's there, whatever it's called, the Harbor Freight type place, and to tell me that he's been, and I got out, I wanted to give him my card, and he goes, whoa, I'm quarantining. So congratulations and thank you, Stephen Bolts, and thanks for donating $50 to the Bob Davis Podcasts. It's easy to donate if you want to. That money goes right in the tank, especially these days with the varying prices of fuel and varying grades. And so the donation from Stephen Bolts is greatly appreciated. If you want to donate, go to the bobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, and you can donate whatever you want. I'll take $5. People have donated $1 as a joke, and I've taken it. Very happy to take it. So anyway, if you want to donate, great. The other thing is, if you are finding me on Facebook, which, you certainly can help me by liking and sharing. I'm not big on comments. Also on Instagram. I've basically pretty much forgotten about Twitter because I hate it. So thanks for the donations and thanks for sharing and favoriting on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And I guess that's about it. I'm not doing any TikTok stuff right now and I'm not doing any YouTube stuff right now. So thanks for doing that. And it wouldn't be a Bob Davis podcast without a shout out to Depot Star and Mark Korn, the head of Depot Star, who's an inventor and created a manufacturing company for people who are inventors with an inventor's heart. So if you have an invention, if you have an idea, and you're looking for a manufacturer in the United States, think about Depot Star, okay? If your company is considering American manufacturing, think about Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com. That's D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, depotstar.com. I'm going to humbly suggest that I'm perhaps unique. I guess we'll find out at some point in my travels. Just this spring and summer, I've covered Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, Arizona, California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, before the fires. In fact, the fires were just getting started up there when I was rolling through Montana and staying in a couple of places. Then North Dakota and South Dakota when it was 112 degrees out there. Minnesota, Wisconsin. And then later after the 4th, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. Let's see what else I got on the list here. Pennsylvania, New York State, upstate. You heard that on some podcasts. Vermont, which was amazing. New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. Back to Iowa and then Nebraska. And of course, now in Colorado. And I'm doing all this with really without running, hundreds of miles a day. And I have to explain that because if you travel on interstates, you can go 1,000 miles in a day, essentially 8 hours. You're going 70, 80 miles an hour. You can go a long way. If you want to drive 12 hours, you can cover a lot of ground. You don't see much. You don't experience much. But when you're on the back roads, and as I am now, completely avoiding major cities. So, since coming back from New England, I haven't encountered a single major city. I have routed myself completely through these sort of islands of large cities, and I am in a part of America, a part of the United States that people really don't talk very much about. It gets some coverage. If it gets any coverage, it's those weird people in rural areas and how strange it is. And it is strange if you live in Manhattan. It is strange if you live in Chicago or some major metropolitan area. I think it's actually even stranger if you live in the suburbs around a major metropolitan area. But I am seeing a different United States. I'm seeing a verdant, resourceful, vibrant, rich in resources, small town and farm America. Yeah, there are towns that have seen better days, but usually, and I've mentioned this a couple times, when you get out to, 15 miles or 4 miles or 6 miles or whatever it is away from these quote unquote small towns that have cratered or decayed. And to tell you the truth, I haven't really seen that many. Obviously in Texas, it's always boom and bust and there's boarded up downtowns all over the place, but it doesn't mean anything because you go 7 miles and you've got a new mall with the Walmart and the Home Depot and everything else. So, it's hard to tell what's actually happening, but I would say on balance, I'm seeing a pretty prosperous farm and small town America. And some people who live in those places will harumph because some places are better than others, but let's just leave that for another day. Secondly, I'm encountering personal fatigue and challenges because of the rate of travel I want to talk about in the second half of this podcast. Here's what we're going to do. So the first half of the podcast, I've been up here on the ridge. You can hear the wind and you can hear the sound of Colorado, especially the higher altitudes. It's great, but there's a great trail right over here. So for the second half of the podcast, I'm going to be moving over to the trail. We're going to take a little hike on the trail. And we'll do that in the second half of this podcast. You know what's really cool? I'll tell you what's really cool. So I have a boosting tool for my cell phone, which, as we have discussed in these podcasts, is probably generally designed to boost a call or text, but isn't that great for data. So I get up here, and I want you to remember, I'm at 10,200 feet, and I fired up the device that privacypost.io provides, which has two SIM cards in it, a Verizon and AT&T SIM card, and it is, of course, a device which does many, many things in addition to being secure It also gives you a really solid connection. Got 5 bars, and I can upload data. In fact, I can upload this podcast from this location with no electricity, you know, other than what's in the truck, 10,200 feet in the air, way up here in Mesa National Forest. And it's amazing to me. So let me tell you about Privacy Post real quick, because I don't want to take up too much time. Essentially, privacypost.io is providing virtual mailboxes, registering businesses in tax-free South Dakota, registering people's residences in tax-free South Dakota, because it is much cheaper to register your business and your residence with a virtual address in South Dakota if you have an RV. If you're RVing, especially if you're RVing full-time, they have all kinds of services for you. So you're going to be hearing more and more about these, but I'll just tell you. So this PepWave device that I'm using to connect to the internet from this incredible altitude of 10,200 feet is basically free of charge if you purchase some of these other services that privacypost.io is going to provide and does provide. They're spinning up in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you'll be hearing more and more about them. So here's how you find them. You either click on the Privacy Post banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com, because it's all about security, especially if you are doing something that is secure. If you're doing something like that, that you need security on the road, if you're an RV entrepreneur, you know, things like financials, if you are doing medical work, if you're doing insurance work, if you do it using this device, you're doing it anonymously, because Privacy Post is the customer of record. They're actually providing the access. Also, the same thing with the mailboxes and things of that nature, because Privacy Post is interested in giving people, through their services, the kind of security that you don't get with other services and with your cellular data and with your searches and on and on and on. So keep listening. I'll tell you more about privacypost.io in the future, but click on that banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com and check them out, because that is a great resource for people who are nomads and RV entrepreneurs and the rest of you crazy people. So as we're walking and talking, I'll just say that doing what I love to do is really important to me. And I love traveling, as in covering ground. I like to be in different places, and I like to see different things, and I like testing my judgments, and I like seeing the people and seeing friends and spending time alone as well. Talked about that a little bit in previous podcast. Actually spending a lot of time alone. And you find yourself constantly shifting gears. You're shifting environments. You're shifting to different fuel prices and grades. If you can get the Conoco Super XL Highway Diesel, it's like nectar from heaven. But you can't get that everywhere. Some of the Conocos have it, some don't. So there's different fuels, different environments that you encounter, different temperatures. Either you're sweating, you got all the windows down, or you've got the windows up and the heat on. And I've had this happen more than once, and it's summer, and yet I've had it happen more than once. Maine and then parts of Colorado, as you go up in altitude, you are confronted with these different environments. And it can be trying, I think. And you don't think about it when it's happening. But last night I got into camp, I had a great fire, watched the sun go down, drank a pot of coffee, and went into the truck and laid down and slept for 2.5 hours, got up, did some other stuff, checked my charge and some other things, and went back to sleep and didn't get up until, I don't know, 8:30 this morning. So I was really tired. And I think part of it is this constant shifting of gears and trying to think and meditate on something new to talk about. I find that I worry about the truck a lot. I'm musing about the next rig or what I should do with this, fixing it, updating, and managing issues and problems. The latest was this whole discussion that Steve and I had after we put in the trickle charger for when I'm on an electric site about getting a generator for the truck. And I've been sort of traipsing around, going through these small towns, trying to find Harbor Freights, and trying to find a dual fuel generator. You don't want just a gas generator, you want one that runs on propane. I got 15-20 gallons of propane in there, that I could easily use in the summer for the charger, for sure. And I don't necessarily want to haul gasoline around in the back of this thing, given the fact that some places are, you know, 110 degrees and some places are 50 or 60. Gasoline expands and contracts, and there's a lot of other issues. So I'm kind of ambivalent about a generator. And then I remember, and we were talking about this, texting and talking back and forth about this whole generator thing, that, and I'll tell you, the best piece of the equipment that Steve gave me out of the cache of stuff that his dad, the Scoutmaster, had, you know, huge 55-gallon drums full of this stuff, was one of these little tiny solar chargers that adds about a half a watt an hour to your batteries if you plug it into the DC circuit. And I've got that running, and that's been a great gift, just making sure that the truck starts. And then I remembered, I've got, and by the way, as I'm walking along here, there's trees and stuff over, you have to step over, so there's that. And then I saw the crew out there when I came up down the trail, so I know that they're going to be chainsawing here pretty shortly, because they got to get these trees off the trails. They've lost a lot of trees falling down and stuff in high winds and other issues this summer. This is not a fire area, but and also, again, we're out of the wind, but you're going to hear the wind occasionally, which is kind of neat. So anyway, where was I? So I remembered I had this thing called Charge Protect, which is a Ford product, but I'm sure that there's a General Motors version of it, and I'm sure there's a Mopar version of it. I don't know, but, and I never really thought much about Charge Protect. What does it do? I noticed that sometimes when I was on Charge Protect, the idle would go up, but I couldn't figure out how to get it to work. And so finally I figured out, I looked it up and I read some stuff in the manual and so forth, figured out that you have to have the handbrake depressed. So the argument I've been having with Steve is, should I get a generator, or why can't I just charge with the generator I have in the truck called the 7.3 diesel? Well, and then comes the saga of Charge Protect. If you depress the handbrake and the handbrake light goes on, well, suddenly Charge Protect increases the RPMs to about 2,800 or 3,000 RPMs or whatever is required to charge your batteries as you speak. So these are used for power takeoffs. They're used in emergency vehicles to maintain a steady rate of power to all of the equipment inside the truck when it's stopped. And that's how it works. So, you know, it's stuff like this that I end up thinking about. So I spent 2 or 3 days stopping into towns, spending more than 5 minutes or so, you know, going to the Walmart or going to the Harbor Freight or going to the Home Depot. Nobody has generators, and they certainly don't have any that are dual fuels right now. So you get fatigued, you get tired, and it's not something, because I'm doing what I love to do, being fatigued and tired is not something that I even have or know about. And I'm not the kind of person that automatically takes time to recharge my batteries by taking hikes and things like that. My friend loved to hike, and they recharge their batteries when they're traveling by hiking and doing all these things. Well, I could never understand why nomads did that. You know, what's the big deal with hiking and kayaking and all that stuff? Why would you want to do that? Because I am at heart an urban person. And then I realized the last few days, oh, I know why they do it. Because when you're traveling, you get tired. And whenever you can, if you get to a place like this, and I've had some great camps, just amazing, you find yourself wanting to take the time to actually rest. And so that's what we're doing. So in covering all this ground, and I mean not hiking, but driving the vehicle, I think it's amazing because every night, or almost every night, I'm in a really great campsite, whether it's Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Colorado now, even Nebraska. I went to an amazing place in Nebraska, and at the Nebraska State Parks, talked about that. I found a city, I think it was Brush, Colorado. It could have been Nebraska. A little town, little cow town that had a city park for $25 a night. You could hook up to electric. And they had showers and everything else. And it was pretty amazing. But every night, it's a steak, you know, great dinner cooked over the campfire and a great campfire. And it is so great. Such a great meditative experience. And I get to learn what creature makes that noise, that rattling noise. It's a grasshopper, actually. And what flora and fauna grows here and there. So as we walk in this amazing area, just imagine this trail through the woods, and it's all pine, almost all pine. And the smell is amazing. And over to the left is this beautiful lake, which is this island lake where this U.S. Forest Service campground is located. You can see all the way down almost to the bottom of the lake. There's a few kayaks and a couple of fishing boats out there. A couple people down at the fishing dock. It's about 65, 70. The sun is really warm. It's one of the reasons I love the West so much, because it can be cool, but that sun is really hot in the summer. It's great. And one of the other things I think about while I'm traveling is, and paying attention to the human variant in all these places, how people live, what their accent sounds like, the difference between a Maine accent and a Minnesota accent and a Western accent these days, and how people look and how they act here or there. And what's very, very interesting to me is I've become, and I've always been sensitive to vibe, but very sensitive to vibe in small towns and places. And I've also become careful with judgments, because the reality is things change, right? People change, situations change, towns change. So today I'm staying at this site here at this National Forest campsite, and I'm going to spend at least 2 days here. And I actually might move down to another site later, the electric site, if I decide I want to. Whew! And finally, to sum up, I would say that, you know, I said earlier, and I've said in other podcasts, I'm still learning, even though I've been traveling a lot and really full time since last November, left October 31st, I'm still learning. And I love that. I don't think I would enjoy this as much if I had a lot of experience camping. And I camped when I was a kid, like everybody. You know, if I had a lot of experience camping, if I had a lot of experience going around to small towns, if I had a lot of experience with this, I don't think I would be enjoying this as much, because I'm learning a whole new set of skills. And so during the day, you think, oh, I need to be doing more work. I need to work on my podcast, at business. I need to check back with this. I need to do that. And I do. But then again, I think, you know, to a large degree, the travel is more work than I realize. And of course, I love it. I love covering the ground. I love going different places. I love being out east and a month later being in Colorado and being able to go really wherever I want. I mean, the greatest feeling this week has been just sort of meandering around California, because the conference doesn't start till, I don't know, September 3rd or 9th or something. So I've got a lot of time to just meander around Colorado. One of the things I'm going to go do is go buy some solar panels that you plug in and set up, because I want to see what that does with the charging issues. So it's learning to take some time every now and then to sort of just consolidate the experiences and get back into the sort of pace of travel after you spend a couple weeks with friends and family, or after you spend some time in one part of the country and you go somewhere else. So there's a lot of ups and downs, and I think it's really fun and interesting to learn how to handle all those ups and downs and to rest when you need to rest. You know that I believe that independently owned and operated refueling stations are the bomb. And I'll tell you why, because you just get so much better deals on fuel. And so it's an opportunity for me to mention 36 Lynn in Minneapolis. This is your independently owned and operated, community-focused refueling station at 36 Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. They are really down with the community. They do great things. They have great events. They have food trucks at lunch, all kinds of great stuff. And they feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. And they have great coffee, which for me is really the key, especially with most of these refueling stations. I don't care who they are. They don't have very good coffee, but 36 and Lynn is awesome. Remember, 36 and Lynn, when you go through South Minneapolis, you need gas or a cup of coffee. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com. 36LYN. And finally, I would say, you know, these are lessons I never learned when I was stationary. That's what I think so cool about it. I mean, I've had plenty of time to learn these lessons as an adult working and living in towns. But I never did because of the nature of what I did. I was completely focused on the local radio station and what I was doing there. So I never really explored where I lived when I lived in New Jersey or when I lived in Pennsylvania or when I lived St. Louis. I never really went out and explored the rural areas. I never went camping or fishing or any of that stuff because for me on a Friday, it was enough just to go out and have dinner and then get up the next day and drink some coffee at the local Starbucks. I didn't really do this stuff. And so I never learned these lessons about resting when you're tired. I never learned these lessons about taking care of myself in the way that you end up having to do on the road. So it's kind of fun to share it. And if there's anybody else out there who's crazy that never did those things, then maybe they'll benefit from them. You don't necessarily have to travel to learn these lessons and learn how to rest when you are tired and get out and breathe some fresh air and do all those things. People used to say that and I'd go, eh. Who cares about fresh air? And now, especially at 10,200 feet, barely able to breathe right now, it is so great to be able to walk through the forest and even to hear these guys cutting up wood. So back to the ridge and looking out over the mesas. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1013, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Ever feel like you can't breathe? Does the water feel too deep? Lie awake cause you can't sleep without it. Ever feel like you're alone? When you're lost but you're already home. Lie awake cause you can't dream. Gonna be alright. I'm never gonna leave your side. It's gonna be alright. Everybody falls down, all the way down. You just gotta hold on tight. You gotta get up, gotta get up. Gonna make it through this time. Everybody falls down, all the way down. You just gotta hold on tight. You gotta get. Feel like you're not enough when you feel like it's gonna take